Let us pray. O gracious and holy Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, intelligence to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. How do you feel about giving? I know that with some things, it is not too difficult for me to give. But when it comes to my tools, man, I just can't let things go. And owner of a small business with people working for me, technically everything is mine, but the things that I've given away, I kind of know I've given away, but there's things that are mine. Thursdays is typically Adam's gymnastic school and Helena's yoga class. So we have a strict routine. Helena takes him to gymnastic school at 4:30, and then she leaves for yoga, and I take her spot on the bleachers at 5:15 as she heads out for the yoga class. This Thursday, however, I had a roof repair on Texeda Island. It had to be done on Thursday because Wednesday was the office day, and Friday was rain. And then there was a long weekend, and I would be working on the sermon. So Thursday had to be the day for this roof repair. My timing had to be perfect. I had to go over on 10:20 ferry and come back on 3 p.m. And if you know work about Texeda Island, that means you have to leave the site to be in time at the ferry terminal for 2:30 sharp. Otherwise, you're missing the boat. As I was unloading from the ferry, one of my guys called me and they needed to borrow my new metal shear. Of course, I would let them use my shear. They were doing the job for me on my project. So I quickly ran over to the site, which was only about 5 minutes away from where I was working, passed them my shear, dashed to my side, pulled the metal panels off, did the repair, reinstalled the metal panels on, flashing, looked at my watch, it was 2:10. I packed my tools, the ladder, got into my truck, it was 2:20. Perfect timing. And just as I was pulling off from that driveway, darn it, my shear. I couldn't just leave my shear behind. Never mind that these are perfectly responsible workers, and frankly, I would get it back as soon as they get off the island. But no, it was like an obsessive compulsive. I needed to get my shear. So I drove out to side, hopscotched through their progress, grabbed my shear, and drove off. I got to the ferry at 2:43. It was like, yes, I made it. I sent a text message to Helena, I made it to the ferry line. And then I lifted my eyes, and I saw that I was parked. If you know the lineup to the ferry on Texeda, there's two turnoffs to the right. If you park just behind the first one, you're making the boat. But you're parked behind the second one, you're not. So I quickly pulled up my phone again and tried to explain that, darn it, I am not making the ferry. Now, the fact that I stand here living and breathing means that this story had a happy ending. Nevertheless, the story also served as a good lesson in giving, or in this case, borrowing or lending. And today, Jesus teaches his disciples a few lessons. Beware of the scribes. And while this could be said to be Jesus' criticism of his contemporaries, but is it really? And what does Jesus imply by such specifics? Who are these scribes, and what does it mean for us in our time? A word scribe implies that a person would have been educated, able to write and read. In those days, it would have been studied in some sort of a religious, institution, a place of learning, and grounded in scripture, religious practices, and or philosophy. In relation to our time, it could be said, I guess, as an academic, someone intelligent and educated. Jesus puts a qualifying factor to this description. The scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. Now, in terms of the long robes, I guess that would qualify. I mean, technically, if you ever try to do something like, you know, walk up the stairs or like lawn moving is obviously not going to happen in the robe, never mind the roof repair. Who like to have the best seats in synagogues and places of honor and banquets. That would essentially mean that, you know, a person does not look to be engaged in any sort of hard work, which alludes to a particular scribe's work ethics. Now, just to point out, Jesus doesn't say all the scribes. He does have a qualifying factor for what scribes. And he continues with being a bit more blunt. These scribes devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. So it could be said that these particular scribes are prone to lofty, intellectually presenting speeches and prayers. They are educated, well-spoken, and rational. You know, it weren't dumb people that led to the start of the two world wars. And while we have the benefit of judging and laying blame in hindsight, in that moment, those arguments were presented were rational, logical, and convincing. It took a great intelligence to build a nuclear bomb. It took great cunning and rational ruthlessness to drop those bombs on civilian populations to show force. It would have taken greater wisdom not to. I think this is why in Scripture we are often drawn to comparison of human intelligence and divine wisdom. And then an opportunity for comparison presents itself in our gospel today. As Jesus watches people putting money into the treasury, he watches many rich people put in large sums. And then a poor widow puts two small copper coins. Jesus takes this moment to shine some divine wisdom. He calls his disciples and says to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor woman has put more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put everything she had. All she had to live on." I thought about this for a while. In the original Greek, biblical Greek, the way Jesus says this, unfortunately, our language can best interpret this as all she had to live on. But the way Mark writes Jesus' words, that is, she put everything she had, all she had to live on, as we read them. He writes, out of poverty, the widow put or gave her bios, or bios. The world sounds familiar. That is because it does. Bios is how we get biology. In Greek, it means physical life. In fact, Greek have three words for the word that we know as life, which is bios, the physical life, but also means something that which sustains physical life. Psyche, which is the soul, and Zoe, which is the divine and eternal life. Perhaps some of you already know this, but for me this was like a lightning strike, and luckily I didn't have to hit my head over a metal panel this time. It suddenly opened a whole new meaning for me in a lot of the scripture, not just today's text, but for our passage today. You see, this poor widow, Jesus says, out of her poverty, gave the whole of her life. It suddenly dawned on me, as with my little story about giving, or in fact lending tools, this is not about money, or donating to the temple, or tithing, or any of that. You see, this lesson from Jesus is not about stewardship of money. It is about stewardship of everything. In fact, this is not even about giving. It's about trust and faith. God so loved the world that he has given his one and only Son. God gives of God's self to the world and to his children without expectation of return on investment. This is not about a transaction, as the scribes we talked about earlier would rationalize in their educated speeches and prayers. This is not about giving in order to take. God gives to his children selflessly. And in giving her whole life, this poor widow, in fact, falls into God's grace. What this actually is an outward sign of inward grace. This is what Jesus points his disciples to, an outward sign of inward grace, a sign of trust and faith in God's gentle care and love for God's children. Let us pray. O gracious God, accept our offering, though it is often incomplete. Accept our time, though it is often broken, our energy, though it is often frail. Lead us, guide us, hold us in your straight and simple ways. And let us shine in the remembrance of your love, one holy whole, knowing peace in the still frame of our souls. Amen.